Welcome to the Bring Your Book to Life Micro Audio Summit, curated especially for soul-led coaches, healers, and online entrepreneurs to write and promote your book in the most powerful way. In this summer, you'll hear from our speakers sharing their wisdom, each one around a different aspect of the book writing journey. Each interview is content rich and packed with tips which you can implement right away so you can bring your book into the world. I'm your host and creator of Bring Your Book to Life, Nicola Humber, founder of The Unbound Press, a publishing company dedicated to amplifying the voices of female authors writing transformational books. I am so excited to bring you these interviews. Let's dive in. Okay, so this conversation is a really important one, because those fears that can bubble up around us sharing our story can stop us from getting started with the book writing process in the first place. And, you know, we need your book out in the world, magical one. So in this conversation, I am talking with Dr. Sarah Coxon. Sarah has so much to offer around ways you can feel the fears and acknowledge any fears that are coming up for you, but move through them so that you share your story, share your message in the most powerful way. So Sarah is an author herself. Her first book, Way of the Priestess, was released through the Unbound Press back in January 2021. She's a seasoned yoga teacher, trauma-trained somatic practitioner, business coach, and creator of Regenerative Alchemy, which is a revolutionary body-based style of coaching that helps radically transform pain and challenge into healing, growth, purpose, and greater resilience. She helps her clients find freedom from overwhelm, fear, self-doubt, and burnout, connect to their purpose, deepen their medicine, and thrive. She is an all-round magical being. I'm really excited to introduce you to Sarah. So let's do that right now. So Sarah, welcome to Bring Your Book to Life.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to have this conversation.
Me too. And I've got my copy of Way of the Priestess here, and she's been out in the world 2 years. I can't believe it.
I know. What a whirlwind.
Absolutely. And I'm interested to hear, what made you first decide to write this book in particular?
That's such a good question. So I knew from a kind of more strategic standpoint that I wanted to write a book. I thought it would be really good for the business, blah, blah, blah. And I had an idea of what I wanted the book to be about. I think it was going to be something about prosperity or whatever. And I think we had a conversation and I was like, that's not it. Like, there's something that's just, I don't know, it felt a little bit too contrived for me. So I kind of left it. And then I was out walking my dog and it just dropped in. It was like priestesshood. This is a concept that you're working with, embodying, working with clients on. You need to write a book about this. And yeah, that was the moment that it kind of just dropped in. And it was still a few months between that moment and actually sitting down to write it. I feel like a lot of things needed to kind of click into place internally before I was ready to write it. So that's where the idea kind of originally came from, maybe from source or, you know, whatever, it literally dropped in.
I love that. I feel that will resonate with so many people listening, because I think we can have this idea, it's a good idea. It makes sense to write a book, particularly if we have our own business, and we might have an idea of what that should be, but how you listened to that call for something maybe a little bit different from what you expected, and acted on that as well. And did you always sense, obviously it was going to be about priestesshood, but did you feel always that it was going to be such a personal book? Because it's part memoir, isn't it? You know, you're sharing a lot of your story. Was that always going to be the case?
Yeah. I mean, I can't really share my work without sharing how it relates to my life. And so, yeah, it was always going to be part memoir. And because they're also the books that I love to read as well. I love to hear other women's stories. I think there's so much healing in being able to read someone else's experience, particularly if it's very similar to your own. And I think that we live in an age of memoir where a lot of things that we kind of have previously kind of kept secret, or we think it's just us, we actually want to see ourselves reflected in other people's stories. So I kind of knew that it would be more powerful if I did share the things from my life, and also the things that, you know, are not particularly glamorous or don't particularly paint me in a fantastic light. And, you know, that's the, a lot of the feedback that I've got from the book has been about that sharing and how it resonates with people and how it speaks to where they're at. And so, yeah, even though it can be very scary to share something so vulnerably, particularly when it's a book and it's going out into the world and you have no control over who reads it, and that was very terrifying. At the same time, when you get those messages from people saying, your book has really shifted something in me, and I've received, I can't even count how many messages I've received like that now, I'm like, okay, that's worth it.
Mm. Well, thank you for sharing that, like what it's like on the other side, because I feel like that's something really powerful for people to hear, that even though it feels edgy and vulnerable and really scary to share our stories, that's where the magic is. Like, that's what creates connection and helps our readers to feel seen and understood in their own experience. So it's really inspiring to hear about that. I mean, can you talk to some of the specific fears maybe that were coming up when you were in the process of writing the book, and also once it was getting to that point of starting to make its way into the world?
Mm-hmm. So I have very general fears around, you know, what will people think? And I was thinking particularly of, like, you know, old colleagues and people from my academic background. I was like, oh God, if they ever get a hold of this book, I'm just going to die, you know, because back then I was very much, well, I thought I was, you know, in the spiritual closet, as it were. And I was kind of scared to share my worldview. So there was that. And then there was also very specific people as well that I did not want to read the book. An ex-boyfriend in particular. I spoke about our story. I was quite careful to make sure that he couldn't be identified. But still, I mean, this person in question had he'd threatened me with a lawsuit. So I was just like, okay, but still, like, I knew this story had to be out there, because yes, it's been healing for other people to read it, but it was also really healing for myself. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that really helped me to stay strong in my decision to share this truth was that I believe that women in particular, or all marginalized people, you know, we've been kept silent for, you know, centuries. And now is our time to share our truth. And so that kind of kept me going. It was like, okay, it is for me, it's going to heal me, but it's also for other people. And I think that's the thing that really kind of helped me move through. And I do remember the week that it was published, I felt sick. I just felt so sick. I was like, oh my God, what have I done? And I just tended to myself and those feelings. And when you allow yourself to feel that way, when you recognize that actually, especially when you're sharing vulnerably, it really is part of the process. And I allowed myself to just allow those feelings to move through me. You know, I haven't felt like that again. I absolutely refuse to look at my Amazon reviews. That's just one thing I've just decided, because now the book's started to be recommended on Amazon and all sorts of people are finding it, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm not looking at those reviews, and I just have to trust that whatever is in those pages is meant to be out in the world doing something, and maybe that actually has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, isn't it? Like, not having that sense of attachment. Like, once it goes into the world, it's like, and whether it's a book or any kind of creation, it's like, okay, it gets to do its thing now. I don't have to be there kind of checking in every 5 minutes, how people are receiving it. Like each reader gets to have their own relationship with.
Absolutely. And, you know, it doesn't even really relate so much to the work that I'm doing now. It's kind of like, I think our work and our creative work is always evolving, but it's still, even though it's, I don't really feel an attachment to the book anymore, it's still out in the world doing its thing. And that has been absolutely miraculous to watch. You know, it's been, I still, like last week I get a message from someone, oh my gosh, your book came at the perfect time. And because of your book, I've done X, Y, Z. I'm like, this is incredible. And I'm not doing anything. It's just out in the world doing its thing.
Amazing. Amazing. And of course it is, because it's such a brilliant book. So, you know, it's going to be out there rippling out and reaching the people that it's meant to reach. I just want to go back, because you mentioned about specific people you were fearful of reading the book. And I think it kind of tends to be like familiar groups of people, the same groups that kind of come up for a lot of us. And one is kind of weirdly ex-colleagues or people we've known maybe from a previous life. I know you were in academia. For me, as people who I worked with when I was in the corporate environment, I'm just really curious as to whether you've heard from any of those people from your past.
None of them. None of them. And I'm pretty sure if they have read the book, I mean, I don't think they would say anything anyway. And what they think is none of my business. No, I haven't. I haven't heard anything about the book, but I have had old colleagues listen to like my podcast, for example, which is another thing that's out in the world. And I'm just sharing what I want to share and telling me, oh, it really helps me. So, yeah, I think sometimes the people that we are afraid of judging us, you know, if they're going to read your book, let's say, they're probably reading it for a reason and they're actually reading it to glean something from it. So yeah, I think we can get it really wrong sometimes. Yeah. But yeah, no, I haven't heard of anyone reading the book, and I'm quite okay with that.
I'm just really curious, because I think, you know, what you just said is true. Very often the people we're most fearful of reading our books, it's like not even on their radar. They're not interested at all. And if they are, it's not from a place, it's very unlikely that somebody is going to buy a book and read it just so that they can like bitch about you. And, you know, it's possible, but like most people haven't got the time or energy for that. So people are going to read it.
And if they do that, then, you know, that's on them and they should probably go and see therapists. So it's like, yeah, no, that's a really good point. But it's funny, isn't it? I think if you're speaking more to kind of spiritual concepts and kind of like coming out of the spiritual closet a little bit more as a woman, I think a lot of the wounding for me was very important that I was taken seriously. You know, I want people to think I'm a professional. And I've had to really kind of move through that and be like, well, we all have different worldviews. And my understanding is that the world needs more spirituality anyway. So I think that a lot of the pain that we find ourselves in as a collective is that we lack that connection to spirituality. So yeah, I guess like really underneath it all, we're just trying to dissolve the patriarchy. And that's kind of like very, to my mind, it's very patriarchal conditioning of like, you know, to be taken seriously, you have to be rational, logical, not share any of your emotions, not share any of your personal self or your story. And so my book was a kind of like a, you know, a screw you to that, really.
Love it. Yeah, absolutely. So many of the women that I connect with come from either an academic background or, as I mentioned, a corporate background, or, you know, just generally from the way we've been conditioned to think about books in particular, that we have to write in this really dry way where it's all about information and we've got to like be the expert and, you know, back everything up with research. And, you know, there's a place for that. But as you spoke to earlier on in our conversation, like for me, what is the most, what brings books alive are our stories. And when we're like courageous enough to share our personal experience, like that's absolutely what happens.
I love that. And, you know, I've written a PhD. I know what it's like to write something that's really dry and really boring, but really important, so they say. And I really wanted this book to not be like that. I didn't reference anything. I didn't, like, obviously it was research, but from my own personal experience and from, you know, the work that I was doing, I really wanted it to be a free-flowing thing that kind of came through me. And so writing it was a very, very different process. Yeah. And I wanted it to be that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the reader gets to feel that as well. Yeah. You know, it's a very different experience. I haven't read your PhD paper, you know.
You do. Like, if you want to be sent to sleep, like, I don't even remember. Nobody cares. It's in some dry, dusty shelves in a university somewhere. So yeah. And it's ironic, you know, I spent 4 years researching, writing this thing, and then The Way of the Priestess was just something that flowed through, and that's been read by more people than my PhD. Hilarious. Like,
yeah, well, nothing is wasted, though, is it? I mean, that experience.
yeah. But I mean, in terms of, you know, being more useful, you know, like, just share. We don't realize how useful and helpful it is to just share our stories and what we believe to be true about the world.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for saying that, because it is, you know, there's so much value in, you know, a woman sharing her story. And sometimes that can feel, oh, this is just, you know, this is just something really simple that happened to me, and who's going to be interested in this? But, oh, it's just so, so beneficial. You spoke earlier, Sarah, about like allowing yourself to be with the feelings that were coming up around the book going into the world and sharing your story and like, oh, who might read it? And I wonder if you could just talk about that a little bit more, because it's interesting. Just earlier today, I was having a conversation and we were talking around fears around visibility. And one of the comments was like, oh, you know, I just need to let this go and release it. And I kind of feel like those fears will never entirely go. There will always be different layers. So is there anything in particular that you do, or any practices that you have to allow yourself to be present with those kinds
of things? I love what you said there, because it's true. Like, the fear never really goes away. It's just that we can work in a way so it's not in the driving seat of our decisions anymore. That's the way I see it. One of the most profound practices that I do with myself, and I also do with my client work, is called parts work. And it's recognizing that we have lots of different parts. So you can have parts that are really excited about what you're writing and really do want it out into the world. And you can also have parts that are like, put, like, you know, foot on the brakes. No, this isn't a good idea. And by allowing yourself to meet those different parts of you and to embrace them and even talk to them, and just, you know, like, compassionately, with curiosity, asking, like, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid is going to happen? Rather than trying to, like, suppress, what you're going to realize is that they're trying to protect you, you know? They're trying to protect you. They're trying to protect you from harm. And most of these parts don't realize that you're a fully grown adult and you can actually, like, figure things out and handle things. And a lot of these parts still think you're a child. So by just acknowledging, honoring, speaking to, reassuring these different parts of ourselves, that can go a long way to making sure that these parts aren't, like, you know, really in the driving seat of everything, with all your other parts that are wanting you to share things, you know, in the passenger seat. So that really helps me. Yeah, that's kind of like really simple but very profound way of moving through.
I love that. Parts work is so, so powerful, and just like allowing space for the different aspects of us, and I mean, I think just that acknowledgement that there are different parts and there'll be parts that are excited about sharing your story and getting your message out there and other parts that are wanting to put the brakes on, like that in itself is just so, so potent.
Absolutely. And also not making yourself wrong for fearing the visibility. Mm. You know, so many women make themselves wrong for not, you know, for feeling fear around playing bigger. And, you know, to that I say, well, do you know what? We live in a world where we see women getting vilified for sharing their truth. We see this all the time. So obviously your system is going to be like, oh my gosh, this doesn't feel safe. But you know what? Whatever happens, you are strong enough to handle it. So telling yourself that as well, it's not that, you know, you might get a bad review. You might get someone turning around and being like, that, you know, you wrote that about me. I know it's about me and it's not true. You may have that, but you know what? You're going to be able to handle it. And that's what I had to tell myself as well. It's like, I'm not a little girl anymore. I'm not even the woman I was 7, 8, 9 years ago when some of this stuff happened. You know, like there's a maturity. There's, you know, my ability to handle things is much greater than it was. So yeah, don't make yourself wrong for feeling afraid. We live in a world that is sometimes very unforgiving for women, and we need more women to share their stories still.
Exactly. Both of those things can be and are true. And yes. Again, thank you for naming that, because I feel, you know, not just when it comes to writing books, but like certainly in the online space, there can be this like idea that you've got to go big. And I know I've seen recently one of your posts talking about like the magic that can happen in your comfort zone. It's like, it's okay not to continually.
I am such a fan of my comfort zone because I've spent so many years trying to be out of my comfort zone. It's like, no, I'm gonna stay in it.
yeah, I love that. And like, it's, we can't guarantee that it's going to be safe when we're sharing our stories, when we're, you know, putting something, expressing something into the world. And I feel like what you spoke to there is like having a willingness, knowing that you can be with whatever feelings arise from whatever response you might receive, which could be, you know, let's hope hugely positive responses, like you say, getting messages saying what a difference the book has made. But also at times, you know, sometimes we're misunderstood or, you know, something doesn't resonate with somebody who receives it. And we may receive all sorts of criticism or negative feedback. So just knowing and having ways that you can allow those feelings to be there and knowing you can move through them is so important.
Yeah, it's not about being, you know, Pollyanna and pretending it's all going to be fine. You know, any author that you love and respect who's, you know, had a profound book, if you go and read their reviews, you're going to see like 90% raving reviews, and there will be 5-10% of people that really didn't like it. Yeah. And so, yeah, like it's, we're not vanilla, and we're not supposed to be for everyone. And I'm sure there are people that read my book and thought it was absolutely pants, and that's okay. I just don't particularly want to know about it. So exactly. That's what, you
know? Exactly. Is there anything that you recommend or that you use for yourself? Like you talked about the parts work, which I love. That's so powerful. But I'm just thinking about like the actual physical sensations we can experience when this fear is arising, or, you know, whatever it is, emotion that's arising around sharing our stories or receiving different responses to that. Are there any kind of more physical practices that you use?
Yeah, you can. I mean, sometimes I use breath work. I think it's really important, though, like when we're using practices, to make sure that we're using them in a way that allows us to embrace the emotion rather than bypassing. Because sometimes like breath work can be a bit bypassy in the sense that we're like, oh, I'm just going to breathe so I can be calm. And one of the, I think, myths about nervous system regulation is it is about being calm. It's actually just being present to our emotions. So Yeah, if you're feeling particularly anxious, then yeah, by all means, breath work is going to be really great. But do you know what? One of the best practices is just scanning your body and just noticing where your feelings are in your body. Because as soon as you do that, what starts to happen is you start to notice that it starts to change. And when you realize that all it is just a bunch of sensations in your body, very soon it just starts to, you know, dissipate. But if you have a history of complex trauma, that might not be something you want to do. You might want to instead kind of focus on rocking, moving your body, finding resource. So what would feel really good for you in this moment? Maybe it's wrapping yourself in a blanket. Maybe it's hugging a teddy bear. Maybe it's something like that to help you also be with these feelings.
Beautiful. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we can't just think our way out of this, can we? You know, if there's...
It'd be great if we could.
I know.
And I've spent like 30 years trying, but no, it doesn't work like that.
Oh, fantastic. So finally, Sarah, what if someone is listening to this, maybe they've started to write a book or they're feeling the call and they know that they want to include their story, their personal experiences in it, what advice or encouragement would you give them?
Share what you care about. Mm-hmm. Like, share what really matters to you. Write about what you care about. And imagine that you're writing to a friend as well. Imagine that. I think the best piece of advice I was ever given was, when you're sharing, writing your chapters and things, just imagine that they're like love letters to someone you really care about, sharing what you care about to them. And yeah, imagine that you're just sharing it to one person as well, and that can just really help like move through. But yeah, just always come back to, is this meaningful to me? Because if it's meaningful to you, it's going to be meaningful to so many others.
Absolutely. Oh, I love that. Oh, that just feels really good to have that sense that you are just writing to one person, somebody you love. It kind of, again, can kind of cut all of that mind chatter out of the way. Yeah, fantastic. So Sarah, how can people find out more about you and your work?
So you can go to my website, drsarahcoxon.com, or you can check out my book, The Way of the Priestess, which is available most online places. Or you can hang out on Instagram at drsarahcoxon, and you can send me a message if you want to. I always like to hear feedback from interviews such as this, so feel free to reach out.
Fantastic. We'll make sure all of those details are on the speaker page for people to find you easily. Thank you so much, Sarah, for having this conversation and being part
of it. Thank you.
Bring your book to life. Really appreciate the work you're doing in the world.
Thank you.
Oh my goddess, what an inspiring conversation. Like, so much goodness to take away from that. Please make sure that you visit the Bring Your Book to Life speaker page to find out more, and a little bonus piece of homework for you. I would love it if you could hop on over to Instagram and share what your biggest insight takeaway is from that interview, like what you're feeling inspired, what action you're feeling inspired to take after listening. You can find me at Nicola Humber. Please do share a post or a story, tag me in and tag our speaker in using the hashtag Bring Your Book to Life, and let us know what you are taking away from that interview. Join the conversation. Here is to bringing your book to life. I'm really excited to see what comes through in your writing and how your book evolves throughout the rest of this year. Thank you so much for listening.